Hey everyone, welcome to Godology, a chance for you to learn and grow in what you believe about God and all things in relation to God. My name is Danny. I'm the pastor of Cross United Church here in sunny and warm South Florida. If you want to know more about Cross United Church, or if you want to visit us sometime on a Sunday, if you're local, you can go to crossunited.org for more information. We're going to be talking this time about what we believe about the kingdom. So I'm going to read the summary of what we believe from our statement of faith, the Baptist Faith and Message, revised in the year 2000. And then I'm going to simplify that into a few bullet points. Article 9, the kingdom. The kingdom of God includes both his general sovereignty over the universe and his particular kingship over men who willfully acknowledge him as king. Particularly, the kingdom is the realm of salvation into which men enter by trustful childlike commitment to Jesus Christ. Christians ought to pray and to labor that the kingdom may come and God's will be done on earth. The full consummation of the kingdom awaits the return of Jesus Christ and the end of the age. So, in other words, the kingdom is any place where God is king. This means that what God wants done gets done. The kingdom of God is also where God is the king of anyone who acknowledges him as king. The kingdom of God is where God saves anyone who trusts Jesus with childlike faith. Christians should pray that God's kingdom will come on earth. Christians should work toward God's kingdom coming on earth. The kingdom of God will not completely enter this world until Jesus Christ returns. When Jesus returns, this world will end, and the kingdom of God will take over everything forever. We're going to talk about what the Bible teaches about the kingdom under two big headings: where the kingdom is and when the kingdom is. First, where is the kingdom? And the first thing we see is that the kingdom is everywhere. The Bible consistently teaches that God rules over all creation, heaven and earth. He rules the entire world. Psalm 103:19 says that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. So in this sense, his kingdom is everywhere. And we're going to look at this universal aspect of the kingdom through the four parts of the story of the Bible and the gospel: creation, rebellion, redemption, and restoration. So first, the kingdom and creation. God rules over everything because he created everything. Revelation 4:11 says, "Our Lord, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Second, the kingdom and rebellion. God rules over all as the king over a rebellious kingdom. When humanity first sinned, they recruited creation into rebellion against God. God placed all of creation, and humanity especially, under the curse of his judgment for sin. So God is king as the judge of the world. Third, the kingdom and redemption. When God the Father, by the power of God the Spirit, raised Jesus Christ, God the Son in human nature, from the dead, he exalted him as the king over all creation. Now, Christ in his divine nature was always and has always been king, but in his human nature, he was exalted as king. Ephesians 1:20 through 23 says, "He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way." And then fourth, the kingdom and restoration. God will restore all of creation, raising those in Christ to everlasting life and raising those outside of Christ to everlasting judgment. When that happens, the kingdoms of the world will submit to Jesus as king. They will submit to the kingdom and the kingship of Jesus Christ. Revelation 11:15 says, "The seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.'" So in that sense, where is the kingdom? The kingdom is everywhere throughout the storyline of the world: creation, rebellion, redemption, and restoration. But also, the kingdom is here. And the kingdom is here in three ways. First, the kingdom and the Christian. When someone becomes a Christian, they actively and willingly submit to Jesus as king. They bow down before King Jesus. In this way, God's kingdom is present in a very specific and special way in the life of a Christian. This ties into the meaning of the call of the king and his kingdom, repent and believe. Both repentance and faith are acts of submission to King Jesus. In this sense, the kingdom of God sort of follows Christians around as they submit to the kingship or the lordship of Jesus Christ. Second, the kingdom is here in the church. The Bible says that the most specific place that the kingdom shows up on earth is in the gathering of God's local church. The local church is the outpost or the embassy of the kingdom of God in this world. When we gather with the local church, we are in kingdom territory. We are on the sovereign soil of God the king. Hebrews 12, 22 through 24 says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, a festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn, whose names have been written in heaven, to a judge who is God of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which says better things than the blood of Abel." The kingdom is here in the individual Christian. The kingdom is here in the local church. And the kingdom is here in the culture. And the kingdom is in the culture fundamentally and primarily in the form of individual Christians and local churches who live as salt and light in the world. These are embassies and ambassadors of the kingdom reign of God. The Christian and the church are in the world and in the culture, but not of the world, not of the culture. This means that Christians and the church are always both for the culture and against the culture, because the call of the kingdom is always both for and against the culture and the people in that culture. It is against the culture, saying you have to repent, you have to turn away from the things that don't please God. And the kingdom is for the culture, saying, believe in the gospel, turn toward God's intended purpose. Now, the second big aspect is the when of the kingdom. When is the kingdom? Well, the Bible teaches that the kingdom is both already here and already present, but not yet fully present. The big $5 theological term for this is inaugurated eschatology. Inaugurated, where we get the word inauguration, like a presidential inauguration, and eschatology. Eschatos, the Greek word last. So the beginning or the start of the last or end things. So the kingdom is already here, but not yet fully here. So the kingdom is now. The kingdom arrives, or I should say the kingdom arrived when the king arrived. In Jesus's conception, in his birth, in his life, in his ministry, in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection, the kingdom came into the world. This is exactly what Jesus said at the start of the Gospel of Mark. Repent and believe, the kingdom of God, the kingdom is here. And the surprising truth of the gospel is that the crucifixion of Jesus was actually the coronation of Jesus, vindicated in the resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus was crowned as king on the cross and vindicated as king in the empty tomb. In one of the most profound parts of the Bible, we see this reality, Philippians 2. This was an early Christian hymn. In his divine nature, Christ was, is, and always will be king. In his human nature, Christ's obedience to death and his resurrection was the occasion for his exaltation as king. Look at Philippians 2, this ancient Christian hymn. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now watch this. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, some who don't understand the Bible's theology say, see, Jesus was never really God. He was made into some sort of exalted being. But that's not what Philippians 2 is saying. Philippians 2 is saying what we just said, that in his divine nature, Jesus always has been king, but in his human nature, he was exalted as king in the events of the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. So because Jesus has come, and because he is present by his spirit, the kingdom is already now here. But the kingdom is not yet here. The kingdom is now, but the kingdom is also then. The kingdom is already present, but it's not yet fully present. We're waiting for the king to come back. This is the hope of the end of the Bible, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. Because the kingdom is not yet fully present, Christians pray as Jesus taught us, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, hope that encourages you. If you found it helpful, go ahead and give us a like and a subscribe and share this episode with someone you think might benefit from it. And I will see you next time.